สวัสดีครับ Welcome to Thai League Central Podcast I'm your host Ta Joined by Paul Murphy We're here to digest, complain, cry a bit about the fixture against Indonesia Yep, Thailand versus Indonesia in the books It finished 2-2 This was of course the World Cup qualifiers Asian zone round 2 Group G Thailand now in third place with 9 points after only picking up a point and Indonesia still in fifth place, but now they finally earned themselves the first point of the competition. Paul, both of us were left in shock after seeing the result. Your initial reactions?
Yeah, it's obviously a huge disappointment. The principle, these last three games, obviously, we've talked about before, a minimum of 7 points to have a chance of getting through. And the most straightforward-looking fixture was Indonesia, who were on 0 points, had brought an inexperienced squad, one that didn't look like it should be the biggest obstacle in the way of Thailand. I know Thailand are weakened by a few missing players, but they've got to win this game really to build momentum. And if they want to win the group, they have to win that game. I think winning the group is impossible now. And obviously second place, that result might not count if they manage to win the next two games. The results with the bottom place teams, which will be Indonesia, don't count if they're one of the runners up. However, it didn't give you much confidence the way they played, looking forward to the next games. Lots of things went wrong. And of course, we were all, I think every fan, every pundit was a bit shocked when they saw the lineup.
Yeah. And we will talk about the lineup first. So around an hour and a half before the game, actually, the lineups came out pretty fast. Chang Suk did a live stream. I was on media duties during match day, so I was watching it. All of a sudden, all these different media outlets, all the Thai sports, media pages basically started releasing leaked lineups. And I was like, yeah, no way. Like, you have Ernesto playing left back, you have Patom Pon at right forward, you have an unfit Ekanit at left wing. This has to be a joke, somebody's probably just messing around because we all made the lineups. We all on Thai League Central, we all made our preferred lineups. And I can guarantee you, nobody took Sasla's name out because Sasla was probably the nailed on starter. We talked about this on the last podcast. Same for Supachok. He was a name that you probably put in the team sheet first. All of a sudden, Badhom Pon takes his spot. So, Paul, I have to ask you, 4-2-3-1, we'll go through the lineups again. Sirak in goal, Narubidin right back, Tom Beer and Supan center backs, Ernesto left back, Sarat next to Pitiwat behind Badhom Pon, Tanawat who made his debut, Ekine on the left, and Arisak Raison up top. It's just shouting problems, right, when you look at that team sheet.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to obviously disrespect the players who were selected. We are not in the training camp. We can't see what the form is. What we are basing our opinion on is the players that we've seen week in, week out, for several years possibly, and in the form we've seen in the past 6 months, let's say. And if you base it on that, Ekinit should not be starting. Sasalak should be ahead of Ernesto, without a doubt. Having two midfielders who are more holding midfielders in a game in which you need to be on the front foot, it didn't make sense to start Pitiwat and Sarac together. And I think the other big thing for me was Jaron Sack has been one of the most effective creative players in the league over the past year. And suddenly Patom Pon overtakes him in the pecking order. I didn't get it. And we know that Nishino has a habit of surprising people with his lineups. And one of the first things I thought was, is he taking this too lightly and resting players to prepare them for the UAE game? Or is he just seeing things differently from almost everybody else?
I think that everybody needs to take responsibility and look at themselves in the mirror. Because from the moment that this team was assembled, and every single step of the way, basically every single training, he doesn't talk a lot about his team, doesn't give us any clues about what's going on inside the camp. And Thai media, when Nishino takes this approach of everything's going to be behind closed doors, I'm going to control what is said, what is, you know, posted out there, everything has to go through me. Thai media starts to question, wow, if this turns out 3 wins a row or 7 points, you know, Nishino's a genius. No Thai manager has taken this approach of shutting down the media, shutting down the fans this much and keeping everything behind closed doors. But at the same time, there's been criticism of other groups saying, is he taking this a bit too far? Because who are we trying to hide from? You know, at the end of the day, when you play an official match in UAE, you don't know if there's a drone 100 meters above your head filming the whole thing. You have no idea. You're in foreign soil. Every single training, there might be some guy walking around the corner looking at you. I mean, keep it close as you want. At the end of the day, somebody might just expose you. So there's this a bit of debate on his approach off the pitch. But everybody was saying, you know, the general admission was, if he goes out there and he puts on a good performance against Indonesia, all those questions, he will shush them because he has shown that, hey, this is my method and it works. But after you see that performance, and I know that Thailand dominated possession, had more chances, looked like the side that were going to win the game, you know, 22 shots compared to Indonesia, 7, both 4 shots on target for the two teams. We had 66% possession, pretty much double the amount of passes that Indonesia had. But when you look at the most important chances, I think Indonesia created more in front of our goal than we did in front of their goal, right?
Yeah, I mean, they were the more incisive, I thought. And every time they went forward, they looked like they might score. Whereas the opposite of Thailand, who when they went forward, it was quite speculative. It didn't really look like they were going to cut Indonesia open that easily. But, I mean, as far as the methods of, you know, keeping things secret, as you said, if it works and they get results on the pitch, it's a great move. But if that's combined with poor performances on the pitch, it just looks like they haven't prepared effectively. And, you know, I think the size of the squad's been a problem probably because you can't keep 41-odd players happy if they're training and then they're just being told you're not getting involved. And, yeah, keeping that number of players, keeping a squad of 23 happy is difficult enough. 41, it just seems to be, it gives them too many options to tinker, and I think that's one of his problems.
Yeah, so it's an issue with the squad as well and all the... Basically, it's a new approach that Thai fans and the Thai media didn't take too, you know, kindly in terms of what happened. And then last night made it even worse. Now, a bit of a bright spot that we should talk about, Paul, is Thanawat Sungjit Thawan. Yes, nicknamed Gun. The U23 Leicester City midfielder made his Changsu first team debut last night. And my word, what a debut. 5 chances created, first in the team, 48 touches, first in the team, 84% pass success rate, 78% successful take on in the opposition half, and 4 successful take ons, 1-on-1, first in the team as well. Pretty much, if we won this game, he would have been the man of the match because he was everywhere. You know, he was doing tackling duties on the back, linking up play quite well, demanding for the ball. You know, you don't see a lot of 21-year-olds get thrown into the World Cup qualifiers and demand the ball from Saraj and other players, you know, Titi Pan when he came on and linked with the brothers from Buriram and things like that. So is he the future of Thailand? Is that pretty solid now?
Well, certainly he's going to be in the next squad for sure. He's going to be starting against the UAE, unless Nishino has another brainwave and does something different. But yeah, it's a hugely encouraging debut. I mean, the biggest challenge Thailand might have is if he remains in Europe. And, you know, traveling our clubs make it difficult for him to travel for fixtures. But clearly, this guy's going to be a big part of Thailand's future if he can maintain that level. And, you know, who knows where he can end up club-wise, because he's at a Premier League club at the moment, not a first, in you know, he's made the squad a couple of times. And let's face it, if you're playing at that level, the very least you expect is for him to be good enough, possibly for one of the professional tiers in England, whether it be the Premier, the Championship, or even League One, that's still a good level to play at.
Mm, definitely. So stay away from Thailand, Gunn, please. Stay.
It would be great to see him. It would be great to see. It'd be great to see him here. But let's see where he can. Let's see how far he can go first.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe come and retire in Thai League when you're like 30 or something. Yeah, that's a good plan. Let's touch about the defense a bit, because Paul, in the preview, you did mention that. Throughout the years in World Cup qualifiers, Thailand have struggled defensively, and you know, we have to be careful. We have to take that very safe approach. Looks like they didn't read your preview, because it was again sloppy defending. Do you think Nishino will change the back line for the next game against UAE, or would you?
I really don't. I mean, I don't know how much difference it makes. It just seems that anytime Thailand play internationally, the centre-back pairing, whatever the combination is, it seems not to work particularly well. Obviously, they've kept three clean sheets in this qualifying group, so we can't be overcritical. But it's just when they concede goals, it always seems to be an individual error or a complete loss of concentration where they lose their man. And it just seems to be repeated over years. There's just a lack of talent in that position in Thailand. And you look at the players who have been considered moving abroad, they're all attacking midfielders, strikers, wing-backs. You never hear speculation linking Thai central centre-backs to move abroad, because they're just not good enough. And I don't know how that gets fixed. There needs to be more of a focus possibly on developing centre-back talents. But again, it's the same problem as the strikers. Thai League clubs bring in foreigners to be centre-backs because the locals are not good enough. Same as the strikers. A lot of Thai strikers don't get a chance because clubs focus on immediate results. They want a Brazilian in there who they can depend on for goals. So I think you've got that problem where the players are not getting enough experience, possibly because the clubs focus on bringing foreigners in. But at the same time, you know, most clubs will have one foreign centre-back with a Thai centre-back. So you've got to imagine there should be more talent out there. But it just seems to be part of the game here. It's not some defensive discipline. It's not a strength at all.
Yeah, so you mentioned there about the defensive mistakes that Thailand have made. Now, going forward, though, the next game against UAE, that will be on June 7th, so on Monday night. Arisak did score. So the goals, first one came from Narabedin, the second one was from Arisak. Now, Natuwood didn't even make the 23 in this game, and this guy was, you know, the one of the top Thai goal scorers in the Thai League last year. So Paul, again, trying to put you in the hot seat here, but will Natuwood get a chance in the UAE game, or do you think that it's going to be Adisak and Supachai again?
I think it'll be Adisak again. I think he's the conservative choice. He's the most experienced. He's got a decent scoring record for Thailand. He got another one against Indonesia, and it's a position that's a problematic position because without Tira saying there's no obvious choice. We've spoken about the best options there. A few of us favoured Natuwood, but the fact that he wasn't even on the bench suggests that maybe he's not part of Nishino's plans. I would have liked to have seen Supanat start. I thought the two goals he scored against Tajikistan in the warm-up just looked like a player that was ready for the chance. The confidence, the way he scored those two goals, I thought, right, maybe this is the time. He's supposed to be Thailand's most precocious talent. Maybe this is the time for him to step up and be a hero. But Nishino saw it differently, as he saw many things differently, obviously. And if he starts Adisak, I would like to see him as part of a front two even, because I think Adisak, as a lone striker, just lacks mobility. He'll get chances, he'll score the goals, but it would be good to see somebody else running up and getting taking the, you know, put some of the workload off them. And I think Supernat would be a good option there. Can't see the formation changing to accommodate that, however. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Adisak starting up front on his own. If Supernat is involved, they might put him out on the wing where he's played sometimes before.
All right. One final question for you. This is a bit of a preview, actually, to the next game. So Thailand will be taking on UAE, the hosts. Both teams now with 9 points. UAE in second place, though, with the better goal difference of +8 compared to Thailand's +3. Paul, UAE just killed. They just murdered Malaysia 4-0. Ali Mahmoud getting 2 goals, and also the Lima, the naturalized player, getting 2 as well. They look scary. I'm quite scared myself. But do Thailand have any chance of picking up 3 points in this one?
Well, obviously the performance will have to be significantly better. They have to take inspiration from the game at home, which for me was one of the best Thailand performances I've ever seen, to be honest. They absolutely, you know, they dominated the UAE. There were superb performances all over the pitch. They should have won by much more than 2-1. It was quite a narrow victory. But if they can look back, and I know that we're missing Chanatip and Tiraton and Tirasen, those are big losses, let's not forget. But I think Nishino has to think carefully about his personnel and go a little bit more with the players who have proved at international level that they've got the form and they've had the chances to prove themselves. Putting in Ernesto, I mean, the guy's a solid T1 level player, but putting him in for his debut in a must-win game just seemed naive for such an experienced manager. Get Sasalak in there, put Jaron Sack on the wing. It was on the wings that they really hurt the UAE last time, the pace on the wings. So let's see that happening again and hope for the best. The UAE are not a world-class team. They're all right. So Thailand should be looking to get statement wins against teams like the UAE. They're not one of the best teams in West Asia, never mind Asia. So it's not beyond Thailand to win this. But yeah, you've got to fear after the lack of confidence that was shown against Indonesia, that it's definitely odds against. And with a striker like Ali Mabkut in top form against our defence, I think it's going to be tough.
All right, there you have it. Be sure to check out Thai League Central. We're doing a lot of preview, a lot of recap, all that stuff for the World Cup qualifiers, Asian Zone. Do check us out on our website, Twitter, Facebook, as well as on Instagram. For Paul and myself, Todd, till next time. Sawasdee ka.